We continue now with outcome 2.7 on the biblical doctrines. Last time we looked at the lordship and resurrection of Jesus. We continue now with justification. Wikipedia defines justification as follows. Justification is God's righteous act of removing the guilt and penalty of sin while at the same time declaring the ungodly to be righteous through faith in Christ's atoning sacrifice. In other words, because we are sinners and deserve to be punished by God, in fact to die because of what we have done, God sent Jesus to take our place, to take the punishment for us by dying on the cross. When we accept Him as our Savior and Lord, we are declared innocent and righteous. His blood covered our sin. What an amazing God. Next, we look at the doctrine of grace. The website gotquestions.org says this about grace. Grace is a constant theme in the Bible, and it culminates in the New Testament with the coming of Jesus. See John 1:17. The word translated grace in the New Testament comes from the Greek word charis, which means favor, blessing, or kindness. We can all extend grace to others, but when the word grace is used in connection with God, it takes on a more powerful meaning. Grace is God choosing to bless us rather than curse us as our sin deserves. It is His benevolence to the undeserving. In short, it is God's unmerited favor toward sinners. Next is the doctrine of faith. Hebrews 11:1 defines faith as follows. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Again, gotquestions.org explains this. Simply put, the biblical definition of faith is trusting in something you cannot explicitly prove. This definition of faith contains two aspects, intellectual assent and trust. Intellectual assent is believing something to be true. Trust is actually relying on the fact that the something is true. A chair is often used to help illustrate this intellectual assent, is recognizing that a chair is a chair and agreeing that it is designed to support a person who sits on it. Trust is actually sitting in the chair. Next, we'll look at God the Father. There is only one God. Scriptures, John 17, verse 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, and Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. God is omniscient, or knows all things. See Acts 15, 18, and 1 John 3:20. God is omnipotent, or all-powerful. See Revelation 19, 6. God is omnipresent, or present everywhere. There's no reference for this in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, see Jeremiah 23, 23 and 24, and Psalm 139. God is sovereign. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. God is holy. 1 Peter 1:15. God is just or righteous, Romans 1:17. God is love, 1 John 4:8. God is true, Romans 3:4 and John 14:6. God is the creator of everything that exists, Mark 13:19, Ephesians 3:9 and Revelation 4:11. God is infinite and eternal. He has always been and will ever be God. Acts 17:24. God is immutable. He does not change. James 1:17. We'll continue next time by looking at the doctrines of Christ and the Holy Spirit.